Today, as we know, in this Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, it's linked to Isaiah in chapter 40. Here in Luke, in Isaiah, it's broken up into Book A and Book B. Book A of Isaiah is the Book of Judgment, and that's from verse 1 to 39. Book 2 is from chapter 1 to 39. Book B is from chapter 40 to 66, and that one is entitled The Book of Consolation. And so we see here then in these verses from today from Luke chapter 3, verse 4 to 6, they're a quotation from Isaiah 40. We hear in Isaiah this promise of salvation, which is a voice cries out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Today we heard it with a little bit of a different version. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. So it kind of begs the question, well, what is it that we're preparing for? Again, as we mentioned, this is the second Sunday of Advent, a time of preparation and time of coming, something is about to take place, and we're getting ready for it. The first coming of Jesus was his coming into the world when he was born into the world as the human Jesus Christ present among us in this world. Today, for that, we remember and we give thanks and we celebrate that particular event, while at the same time we're preparing for his second coming. However, there's also a third coming. And the strange thing about the third coming is that it exists between the first and the second. And that third coming is right here and right now. In the first, we praise God for what he has already done. In the second, we praise God for what we know and hope and pray he's going to do in the future. But in this third coming, we praise God right here and right now for what he's doing already and has been doing since the birth of Christ into the world. And so again, we're on a journey of faith, a journey of hope and trust, a journey of confidence, of victory, and of love. And so as we live and move in this journey, we do so with a great sense of tingling expectation. That something within our spirit, something within our mind, something in our body, something in our heart tells us that something great is about to happen. Of course, in this day and age, we already know what the event is, but there's also going to be that second coming. And then we reflect on what is already going on in our midst here and now. And so we put ourselves in the time of preparation for the coming of Christ, and we kindle anew our expectation of his second coming, whenever that is going to be. We don't know the time or the date. We don't need to know it. All we need to do is to be waiting in readiness, hungry and thirsty and prepared for that time when he does indeed come again. And so in this time of the third coming, however, I'm reminded, as I was thinking about this the other day, I'm reminded of a word of direction and encouragement from St. Padre Pio that he shared with one of his spiritual children who wanted to know, what must I do? St. Pio responded, make every effort. The Lord loves you. Make every effort to always be faithful to the Lord. When I read that just the other day in a book that I'm reading about the miracles of Padre Pio and the story behind all of the miracles, I thought, you know, maybe I could use that in my daily life. Because I don't know about you, but I don't always feel like jumping out of bed and jumping into the shower and hoo-hawing the day and getting ready to go. And so I started applying, make this every effort that I can to remind myself about what's going on, the joy, the gift, the grace, the blessing, the anointing that is always manifesting itself in our daily lives. And so whenever I feel a little, like I kind of sit there and I'm getting a little too comfortable with TV, and I'm thinking I'm really watching too much TV, I could be doing, and then what comes to mind is make the effort. And then I turn off the TV and I make the effort. I couldn't believe the difference that has made in my life just in these past few days. Not only in terms of prayer life, but even in terms of my own joy and peace in the day, and even physical energy, because I'm more active, you know, not as if I'm just sitting around all day, but it makes a difference because I'm thinking differently. My mind is more active and exercising a little bit more in that respect as well. And so again, excuse me. So we want to make every effort, but in this case, generally, for what? Again, Advent is this time of a powerful grace, a blessing in our life. It is also a call to prepare, to pray, to be patient, to wait. For what? Imagine John awaiting God's time in the desert. In John chapter 1, verse 80, this is the announcement of the birth of John. And we hear how the child John grew up and matured in spirit. He lived in the desert until the day when he made his public appearance. So he had to wait quite a long time. And so we can imagine that for a moment. He must have grown a little bit tired, I would think, of eating all locusts and wild honey all the time. However, while John was waiting, God was working. While we're waiting for the second coming, the third coming is taking place in our midst. So while John was waiting, God was working. And during that third time, John grew strong in spirit until the day that finally his manifestation came about to Israel. That day finally arrived. God spoke and John's mission began. Of course, waiting is central to the season of Lent. It's central, of course, to the whole of our life, especially to that of our spiritual and prayer life. But it's also to our life journey. I want to try to share with you quickly, because my heart has been beating and racing since I thought of this earlier this morning. When I thought about this idea of waiting, there was a point in time, as you know, I was ordained 30 years ago, and very early in that being ordained, I started having a sense. It wasn't a vision of something I could see, but that I could imagine, not so much in pictures. And it was a vision of, you know, the church on the top of the hill with the light shining brightly, so bright with so many things happening that people were being drawn to it from all over, coming to the light, coming to Jesus, who is the light. So when I was finally ordained and I was first stationed here at St. Ignatius, and we developed a prayer group, we used to meet every Tuesday night. And after a while, as part of the prayer group, I started sharing with the folks that idea, that sort of vision, if I could call it that, of being able as a community to do things that would be so powerful that the spirit of life, that the spirit of the Holy Spirit, the action of the Spirit would be so powerful in this parish that people would be coming from all over the place saying, hey, have you heard what's going on at St. Ignatius? No, what? Come on, you got to come and see. And people coming from all over the place just as they were climbing this hill to the mountain of God, to the church of God, to the light of Jesus Christ. And so we prayed and we developed even a little letterhead titled Building and Living, Loving, Healing Community. We developed a little prayer that we called the Prayer of Love. And we prayed about God's love and sharing love with one another. And we kept sharing with that vision for time after time after time and after time. And after a while, I even began to think to myself after about like the second or third year, Lord, where is this? What's happening? Some other people even became after a while, because I was at that point, I was here for 4 years before the Lord brought me to another ministry of traveling. But in all that period of time, we were praying about this. And we kept thinking, and some people after a while said, you know, we're really feeling let down. We're feeling almost like we've been misled. We've been expecting all this greatness and blessing that we've been talking about, and nothing has happened. And so I thought, well, I don't know. I didn't know how to respond to that. So I went about my life and I went into another ministry that the Lord called me to. But 9 years ago, the Lord brought me back to this parish. And what he has shown me in this parish was I had the vision, but it was his vision. I just did not have the timing. I didn't know that it was going to take, because I've been ordained for 30 years now, I didn't know it was going to take 30 years. So that's why I became sort of like patient and people got upset because I get excited. So people got excited and I kind of felt bad about that. But it really hit home as I was putting all of this together because I've mentioned it a little bit in the past weeks, but it really hit home today. And then along with that, it reminded me of another passage from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Where the Lord says to the prophet, write down the vision clearly upon the tablets so that one can read it readily. For the vision still has its time. It presses on to fulfillment and it will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. And so this idea of building and living, loving, healing community, finally, 30 years later, here it is, as far as I'm concerned. It started, for me 30 years ago, but it started coming to light 9 years ago when I moved back here and having the grace of living with Father Mike and renewing myself with the community. And I can see that now, and my body is kind of burning with fire as I'm thinking and talking about it. So again, this whole idea of waiting is so crucial to have our vision, to have our dream, our hopes, our desires. But then, of course, there's always the waiting. The problem with that, of course, is God's timing is never according to our timing. Who would have thought? I certainly didn't think 30 years ago that it would take 30 years for me to see what I'm seeing now. Because it was very clear in my mind what the church was meant to be, how people were meant to interact with one another, just as when people come through the door with great joy and interacting with one another, staying after Mass, and the community building and growing, not only during Mass time, but during daily life as well. And so in life, we are called to wait too. We wait not just for Christmas, but also for Jesus' second coming, that time when he will fulfill every promise and he will right every wrong that we see in the world or in our lives and in our families. The time will come when, I don't know, God knows, but I know that it will come. Waiting for the Lord, for example, to answer our prayers, as well as I, can be especially difficult because we can't always see the progress. We can't, oh, come on, Lord, what's taking you so long? I prayed this prayer 3 minutes ago. Nothing's happened yet. That sense of urgency. And sometimes there is urgency to our prayers, but it's not God's urgency. It's our own. And so it's like planting. If you're planting seeds or you're planting a garden or flowers or whatever the case may be, or vegetables, we plant, we water, we remove the weeds, and then we sit back and wait. We wait for that little sprig to start, and then it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And finally, we can enjoy and smell the flowers, or we can enjoy and pick the fruit and pick the vegetables. And so... Excuse me. So what then can we do in terms of really getting a sense of this third presence of Christ here now in our midst? Well, we can start by remembering, first of all, God's faithfulness. John must have spent time recalling how God had already delivered Israel and what God had personally promised to him. He had been waiting for that for a long time also. Like John, we can recall God's blessing in our lives and all that he has done already in our lives in sending Jesus to save us and everything that's made possible since then. That can help us then to make our waiting just maybe a little bit sweeter for a time. It can also lead us perhaps to trust him just maybe a little bit longer and a little more deeply. We can also praise God while we're waiting. Praise him for what he has already done for sure. the first coming, and praise him for what he will do in the future, the second coming. We can praise him for that one day when he will put an end to our struggles and welcome us into his heavenly home. But we can also praise him for what he's doing right now, the third coming. He's working in our families. He is working in our churches. He is working in the world. We don't always see it. It certainly doesn't look like it when we watch the news, especially these past few years, struggling with pandemic and so on and so forth. You figure, is it ever going to end? Who knows? Maybe yes, maybe not. How long will it be? We don't know. So we can't wait for that. We have to keep living in the grace of the moment with the graces that the Lord is pouring upon us. And so as we praise him, our hope will rise, our faith will grow stronger. And when God's, when God's timing does arrive, then our hearts will be ready, just as John's heart was ready. And so perhaps maybe a thought could help. Lord, I have seen your goodness, and I will wait on you with confidence. Lord, here is my Advent commitment to you and to my sisters and brothers. Perhaps this can be our thought at the moment as well. To my sisters and brothers gathered here with me today, I shall commit myself to the best of my ability to make today matter. I shall make every effort to praise you and to remain faithful to you. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.